to us. May we see beautiful and glorious truths. May our hearts be touched by your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start off by talking a little bit about our trip to New Zealand. All right, so in New Zealand, last part of the trip was going to Queenstown. If anyone knows about Queenstown, it's fantastic in beauty, but it's also the place of lots of activities. So, like, you know, Colin and I had the choice of bungee jumping, the big swing, paragliding, hand gliding, jumping out of somewhere. And but, of course, you know, being a little bit older now, we decided to go jet boating. All right, so jet boating instead. So when you go jet boating, it is fantastic. Here we are. Look at that. There's a photo of Colin and I ready to go jet boating. And you're in a boat that goes really fast, and you just get told a few things. Hang on. Keep everybody part in the boat. And your hands are your life is in my hands. And off you go. And you go through these narrow chasms. There's some photos coming up where you go. Look at that. Just go on through. You're really fast. Going to hit something. And you know, and then you go through all these narrow gorges as well, and over even rivers that are just a few inches thick. And it's at high speed. So what do you think of that, eh? Fantastic. We're in the front, so that was great. Okay, so why am I even showing that today? This is not an advert for New Zealand. This is to tell you, as I look at that, I love pictures, right? And I look at that picture, and there's something that comes to mind. Okay, so now I'm going to start off by talking about something most important. Most important thing in life is not having great holidays or having thrill rides. What's the most important thing in life? The most important thing in life is salvation. Our salvation. And that salvation means being saved from. Why is salvation so important? Saved from the consequences of our sins. From the judgment of God that we deserve. Saved from spending eternity in hell. And saved to a full pardon. Saved to being restored to God. Saved to having eternal life in heaven. There's a saving from and a saving to. And when I think about salvation, one of the big things I'm going to mention today, especially as we look at Simeon's words, is salvation is all about being in the boat. That's just a little picture. What boat am I talking about? I'm talking about being in Christ's kingdom. And having him the captain of our life. That our life, remember what I said about the driver of the jet boat? Our life we've placed into his hands. And through the journey of life, with all its obstacles, with all its near misses, we trust him. We look to him. And he is our captain and commander. That's salvation. And when you're in that place, you're in a safe place. You're in a saved place. You're in a secure place. How good is that? So this morning, we're going to get back into looking at Luke's gospel. We're coming to the end of Luke chapter 2. We've seen the beautiful birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. That was around Christmas time. 2 weeks ago, we also looked at him being presented at the temple in Jerusalem by Mary and Joseph, and a sacrifice was made according to the law, the Jewish law. A sacrifice was made for their firstborn. So, and also as they're in the temple, do you remember what we read? Something amazing happens. They meet somebody. An old fella is in the temple. So let me read it to you in Luke chapter 2, 25 to 28. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God. All right. Can you imagine that, eh? So Mary and Joseph are holding baby Jesus, and a stranger, this old man, comes and takes Jesus out of your hands. And he's holding Jesus. And so my first thought would be, if I was Mary and Joseph, I'd be shocked. Would you be? What is going on? Give him back. But I want you to think of Simeon. How is Simeon feeling about it? He is overjoyed. He is absolutely thrilled. Why is that? Well, we've already read He knew that this is the consolation of Israel. That means the comfort of Israel. He is the Lord Christ. Can you imagine how joyful he is? He also knows, Lord, you promised to show me the Lord, your Christ, the Christ for your people. And we read that in verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And so he would just be so overjoyed. He's ready to die. I'm happy to die. I have seen the Lord Christ. But the words that he says in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in verses 29 to 32 are just wonderful. Let me read them to you. He says, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. In other words, I'm ready to die. And it goes on to say there, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now, I know 2 weeks ago we explored this beautiful story somewhat, but I want to bring out something that I didn't bring out 2 weeks ago. And it's in regard to those beautiful words of Simeon. And he says there in verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation. They're just simple words, but they are so profound. I can't help but really spend some time on this. So what is he saying? Your salvation. Well, God doesn't need saving. He's saying it like this. This is, Lord, your salvation for us. This is your salvation for your people. Or we could say, this is our salvation. And where is Simeon's eyes? Where are his eyes? In the temple? Is he looking at the temple when he says that? No, he's looking at baby Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, the person of Jesus is your salvation for us, our salvation. That is so, so, so important. Because the majority of the people of this world, they think salvation is what? It's in being a good person. It's keeping religious observance going. It's going to church. Or our salvation is our baptism. Or having communion. Or being confirmed in a traditional church. Or our salvation is about having the right belief and the right doctrine and a right understanding of the gospels, about knowledge. Or our salvation is about our faith. It's our faith. It's our confession. It's saying the sinner's prayer sincerely and correctly and 10 times over. That's not our salvation. Our salvation has always been the person of Jesus. It's he who is our salvation. He's our salvation. And that is the most important thing to grasp. And I never saw that for many years in my life. We grow up thinking we're saved because we go to church or we're a good person or have the knowledge of Jesus in my head. You know, I know all the things. He died on the cross and he rose again. And we think that we're saved. But we're not until we come and we connect to the person of Jesus. I just love this. I love how Simeon, I imagine he has dim sight. He's an old man. He can't see too well, but he sees Jesus and he sees that little baby being our salvation. And then I think of the church over nearly 2,000 years. And here is the worst thing about the church. In all those 2,000 years, we have been so, speaking as a we have been so bad at seeing correctly. Simeon sees well. The church hasn't seen well. We have seen and looked and thought that salvation is by being in the church. Salvation is about right doctrine. Salvation is about ritual. Salvation is about all these things, but it's not about anything. It's about Jesus, the person. Even my faith. It's not my faith that saves me. It's what the object of my faith is in. Isn't that true? It is not having the gospels worked out in my brain and I can understand the gospel so well. It's what the gospel is focused on. Jesus. And I don't know how we can miss this. We can be so close and we can think that we are saved, but we've missed it. We miss the most important thing. We must be connected to Jesus. He is. The person of Jesus is our salvation. I love how this is brought out just amazingly, just in the story of Jesus as he lived in this world, as he walked amongst us. I'm going to ask you this question. Were people able to be saved while he walked this earth? He hasn't died yet. He hasn't paid the penalty for our sins yet. He hasn't borne the wrath of God yet. So could people be saved before that? Yes. Because our salvation is in the person of Jesus. You be connected to him. You be in him. You're saved. And I love the story of the thief on the cross. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 23 and verse 39, starting there. It says, one of the criminals who was hung there was hurling abuse at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal answered and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And indeed, justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. So he's speaking to the other criminal. And then he turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. All right. So I want to point out a few basic things. He does not understand the gospel. He doesn't even understand what Jesus is doing on that cross, how he's dying for our sins. What about that? He doesn't even do a sinner's prayer. Do you notice that? There's not even a confession of his sin. He's just saying, we're going to get what we deserve. But what does he do? What is the golden thing he does? The most important thing of all. He turns to Jesus and connects himself to him. That is most beautiful to see. And Jesus, as a result, says to him in the next verse, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. You've just placed yourself in my hands and you're saved. And by the way, you never said this, Jesus, but I'm going to die on the cross for your sins and it'll be complete. So, you know, I could have easily gone past this section because we sort of looked at most of it in 2 weeks, but this is so important. And it just got to me, this critical thing that we understand, that Jesus, it's so lovely to say this, Jesus is our salvation. He is God's salvation for us. What are we saying? The person of Jesus. That's why Paul often said, in Christ. In Christ, you've got to be in him. You've got to have your life in him, in his hands. That's how we are saved. And then I want to just read some of these other words, which I only briefly touched on 2 weeks ago. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And I love how God's done this. This salvation, Jesus being our salvation, has been made clear to all people. So what do we mean by that? Well, the prophecies have made it clear who Jesus is. Those prophecies that have spread around the world. And also when Jesus was born, how beautiful was that? Even wise men are coming and the world is getting to know. The star was put up in the sky of the birth of Jesus. And then when Jesus lived amongst us and did his miracles, incredible miracles that no religious leader had ever even got close to. What a spectacle for all the world to see that this is the Lord's salvation. This is our salvation. And then he died publicly in the big city of Jerusalem, where many roads come and go. Out there in Jerusalem on a hill, he dies before the people, so that we might all know he is our salvation. Or as Simeon calls it, he is the Lord's salvation for us. So, do you see clearly? Are you able to be like a Simeon to see that Jesus, he is the one. I must be found in him. I must give him my life. He is the only one who can save. And when that happens, we read in verse 32, he is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. There's a distinction made between Gentiles and Jewish people. The Gentiles, that's most of us, we're just totally lost. We're lost in worldliness and humanism. We're lost in other gods. It's always been like that. The Gentiles, we're just a dark people. But Jesus would become a light to this dark people. He would light up who he is and the way home to heaven. Praise his name. and to God's people, the Jewish people, he would be their glory. Because everything pointed to him. Why didn't they get it? The temple, the whole Old Testament, the prophecies, the pictures. If only they realized he is their glory. He is the whole sum and substance of the Old Testament. What glory. Oh, to have the eyes to see it. You know, as I appeal that you might have the eyes to see it, I've got to say something, and this is a humbling thing. We will never have the eyes to see it on our own. You cannot see these things on your own, by your own effort. You need to humble yourself, and you need to ask the Lord to open my eyes. You need the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life so that you might see. And then what beauty you see. And I've got to read now about Anna. These two old, two old people, Simeon. And now let me read a little bit about Anna. So it says in verse 36 to 38, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up. This is in the temple, came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she also has the right eyes. She comes into the temple, she sees Jesus, and she straight away knows this little baby, how could you do that? This little baby is, in her words, the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption means the one who will pay a price and bring us back to God. And she's not talking about the city of Jerusalem. She's talking about the people of Jerusalem. And of course, we also know that that was extended by God's amazing grace to all people. Jesus is our redemption, our salvation and our redemption. Anna had the eyes to see it too. May the Lord give us eyes to see these most important truths. But I want to finish this morning on two other S words, not just salvation, but two other words that come through as Simeon, going back to Simeon, as he speaks to Mary and Joseph, and especially to Mary. So I'm going to read now verses 33 and 34. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. You know, the things that Simeon had said. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, and I'm not sure why it's only to Mary, but he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. These are what we call prophetic words. Before anything happens, he is telling Mary what's going to happen. So I want to pick up on that word sign. He is a sign. Is Jesus a sign? He's our salvation? Yes, and he is a sign. There's a great verse on that. What a signpost. What a sign he is. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you want to know the Father? You want to be in heaven? I'm the one. I'm the way. I'm that sign. He's also our salvation. So what Simeon is saying is that Jesus being a sign would be shot at. He would be, in the words in my translation, a sign to be opposed. And when I thought of that, I thought, oh yeah, I remember that growing up in the country with road signs. And you have a road sign, and every road sign in the country town of Corrigan where I grew up had something in these signs. You know what they were? Bullet holes. Because everyone is having a shot at the sign. And sometimes those signs are like nothing is left. And I think, wow, that is a picture. Jesus is a sign pointing us to where, to heaven, the way to heaven. And the prophecy is that people would be shooting him down, trying to bring him down, trying to oppose him. Isn't that true? What happened? Another prophecy that is fulfilled as Jesus walked this earth is this one in Isaiah 53 verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised and we did not esteem him. How terrible did that happen to our salvation, to the one who is a faithful sign pointing us to glory, pointing us to the Father, bringing us to glory, bringing us to the Father. But here's the thing. Even though he would be opposed by many people, not just the religious leaders, and even though Jerusalem's voice would be, crucify him, crucify him. Listen to what Simeon says. He would be assigned to be opposed, but earlier on it says, he has been appointed for the fall and the rise of many. You can't bring Jesus down. He's the author of life and the Lord of glory. The real thing that's going to happen when we have shots at him is if we are in that category of people opposing him, we are going to be in that group of people who are going to fall. We will fall. We will be crushed one day. We have rejected our salvation. There is no other way. We will be opposed by God himself and we'll find ourselves in that place called hell. But on the other side, for all those who don't oppose Jesus, all those who, like that thief on the cross, commit themselves to Jesus and place themselves in Jesus' hands, he will rise us up. How good is that? Rise us up all the way to glory. Praise his name. But what a prophecy. Even this cute little baby is already being told what's going to happen. There's going to be a rising and a falling amongst the people. And he'll be a beautiful sign who will be opposed, unfortunately. Well, one more thing to mention. Verse 35. And it says, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. A sword. This is not very pleasant now. A sword will pierce even your own heart. So who is Simeon talking to? Do you remember? Mary. So it's very likely that what Simeon is saying here is he's talking about how Mary will have her heart pierced. When would she have her heart pierced? I think we all naturally think of, well, she's at the foot of the cross. She's there. And she sees her son in agony, being tortured and tormented. And it would have been such a piercing in her heart to see that. And she would know that he's our salvation. He's the Christ, the Messiah. Can you imagine how she felt at the foot of the cross seeing that? But you know, I reckon there's something else to this verse. Simeon says, and a sword will pierce even your own soul. And then he says, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So I reckon it's more than just Mary being at the cross. She would have gone through another time in her life. You know what that time would have been? That time when her own heart is pierced like with a sword. We all have to come to this place. And she is convicted. And she is challenged deep within her soul. About what? What sword am I talking about? This conviction that comes into her heart. It's the one that challenges us. What are you going to do with Jesus? For Mary, what are you going to do with your son? You know, Mary was still trying to work things out. There had to come a time where Mary herself, even Mary herself, needed to realize, I'm a sinner. And I myself need to turn to Jesus, my son, and give my life to him and be saved. I think that's what Simeon is saying. And we can then relate to this because that's exactly what happens. So Jesus, like a sword, he pierces our heart and he cuts through all the facades we have and the masks we have and the show we put on to people. And he cuts deep. And if you are a Christian, you know about this. And you can't play church anymore and you can't just put on a good performance anymore. And he cuts deep. And he's looking for something. He knows you're a sinner. He knows you're so contradictory. You're so up and down and you still sin, but he's looking for something so special. He cuts deep. Am I your all in all? Am I your rock and your refuge? Am I the one you trust in with all your heart? And you know if you do, because in all the turns of life, I know in my own life when I've had really hard times and I feel so broken and so down, in my deepest part of my heart, there it is. I get cut deep and I can't help but fall before Jesus. And he is my everything. I have nothing without him. I gladly place my life in his hands. He is my Saviour. He is my Lord. He is my salvation. Do you have that? That is so important. Friends, the things we're looking at this morning are really important. Because, you know, we should know this. Not all of us are there yet. And as the Spirit of Jesus cuts deep into our soul, what really is there? Is the Lord Jesus, our Saviour? Is he our salvation? I trust he is. We're going to sing a song that's quite a slow and a soft song to finish this morning. It's called The Lord of Life. And it picks up on three verses. The first verse speaks of Isaiah 53 verse 2, where we read that Jesus just came into our world so plainly and people just missed his glory. And then verse 2 speaks of Isaiah 53 verse 6, where he gave himself for us and died for us. And verse 3 says those most amazing words based on John 3:16, "For God so loved this fallen world, he sent his Son from heaven on high, so that anyone who believes in him, who connects to him, who calls on him, who gives their life to him, receives his life. And they, here's a great promise, will never die." That's salvation. Jesus is our salvation. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing. No one's born a Christian. We're all blind. I was blind for 18 years, even in a church. The thing is, have your eyes been opened? Can you see? It's all about Jesus. You must have him. You must be in him. You must place yourself in his good hands. Then you're saved. Jesus is our salvation. Praise God for the words of an old man who could see, filled with the Holy Spirit, that little baby is our salvation. Amen. Our Father, I just ask now that your Holy Spirit would move in all our hearts, that you would show us where we really are with you, that you would cut deep into our soul, because salvation is so important, and that you would help us to see where, whether we're there yet or not. And if we're not there, please would you help us to do something about it, to see me after the service, or see a fellow Christian, or a Christian, and to know what it means to have Jesus be our all in all, for us to be in him. Lord, help save us from being just a churchgoer, a Christian on the outside. Lord, help us to really be saved. And I pray, Lord, for us who are, we just want to say thank you so much for opening our blind eyes and softening our hardened hearts and helping us to stop opposing him, but to yield to him and to give our life to him. We are so grateful for your patience and for the way you bore with us through our hostilities against your son and helped us come to that place of surrender to Jesus. It was the best thing we've ever done, and we're so glad he holds on to us forever and ever. I'm so glad, Lord, that my salvation is not because of my faith or how strong my faith is. I thank you that it's based on the one who I put my faith in. Thank you for Jesus' strong arms that will hold us forever and bring us to glory. We thank you, Father, for this time. May you move and touch our hearts. Help us today. We need you so much. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.